My prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can experience your new truth. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful birthdays for those listening on the podcast. We had a powerful noon meeting I went to, and we had a woman there, fairly young, and she had 36 or 48 hours, and you could see the desperation. It was so powerful to me to see the desperation and how she felt this was a safe place. And so, and then the people who celebrated tonight, they shared how they were there and what's happened to them. That's why we do this meeting, right? So we can see the directions, so we can do what they did, and we don't have to live a hopeless and futile life. We are on page 82, I believe, and we're going to cover we're on step 9, how we can summarize why step 9 is important, some final strong suggestions on how to incorporate these principles in the rest of your life. And then we're going to look at what's called the 12 promises. Of course, they're promises throughout the big book. These are in the 9th step, and it doesn't really say I guess it says extravagant promises, and so we'll look at those. We're on page 82. The alcoholic is like a tornado. Now, here's another thing. They put something new in the book every time I read it. It doesn't say the drinking alcoholic, because you could be sober alcoholic and be a tornado, roar your way through people's lives. Anybody agree with that? Hearts are broken. So you might ask yourself, if you're reading this with someone you're working with, whose hearts have you broken? That helps you see who you need to make amends to. Whose hearts did you break? Sweet relationships are dead. Notice the words, broken, dead. Affections have been uprooted. You're a tornado. You've broken hearts. You've ruined relationships. You've uprooted affections. And you could ask yourself, whose affections have you uprooted? What relationships are dead? Now, the thing about this is you're trying now in step 8 and 9 to repair the damage done by your tornado. And so that you can repair broken relationships and change affections. And now they give you a hint. Selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. I also wrote here, I've got a problem because I've had this book a while and I've had so many notes in here, I can't remember what notes were for when, but I wrote, I am the tornado. Anybody agree with that? And I could still be the tornado. And if people are looking at you strange at home or someplace, you may be the tornado at that time. And by the way, tornado is not good. I mean, this is you have to make it very clear. Being a tornado is not good. Selfish and inconsiderable habits have kept the home in turmoil. And we feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. Now, why is sobriety not enough? Because you could still have selfish and inconsiderate habits and just be physically sober. And then you're still a tornado. So I know a lot of people come to AA and they're sober and they don't know why everybody's not treating him like a hero. Corey said it, Saturday, you were 10 days and you were upset that they weren't treating you right. So grateful and giving you homage. And I hear people say, well, you know, I've been sober 30 days. Because until they can see the change, until you've changed your personality, they don't see the change. Just being sober is not enough. Now, it's important to be sober to be able to work the steps. I really think they work better if you're physically sober. Does everybody agree with that? And then once you're physically sober, then you're seeking what we call emotional sobriety, how to change your personality. Now the alcoholic is like the farmer who came up out of a cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, don't see anything the matter here, Mom. And you know, it's true. We can't see the damage. When you do your four step, you can start to see it. You can start to see how you affected people and what you did. But a lot of times you can't see it right away. In fact, a lot of times you think they caused damage. And we're seeing it wrong. Ada Grand, the wind stopped blowing. And so that's a key one of the key sentences. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. That's not the goal of AA, is to be physically sober. The goal of AA is to have a relationship with God, right? That changes our attitude and outlook on life, the way we react, the way we behave. Now here's a great paragraph. It says, yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. And reconstruction is action. You're going to do it with action, not with thinking. You're not going to think your reconstruction. You're going to take actions. It says we must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling, a mumbling that we're sorry won't fill the bill at all, that won't reconstruct the damage from our tornado. Anybody do remorseful mumbling? And notice it's mumbling. It's like, I'm sorry, you know, mumble, you don't want to. It won't fill the bill because nothing's changed. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it. Now I would suggest before you do that, you work the steps and you get up to step 9 before you sit down with the family and frankly analyze them. Now a lot of people want to sit down with the family and tell them what's wrong with them. That's not going to be a step that's worth doing. And then you'll have to reconstruct all that damage. And you have to frankly analyze it as you now see it. And isn't that what step 4 is used for? So you can frankly see the past. And that's why you won't regret it, because this is the key to your being willing to change. We talked about it today, the desperation. You don't want to forget that moment of desperation. Corey, Jessica, Louise, Jason all described that moment of desperation. You don't want to ever forget that. And I remember Father Leo, if you can find him on XA Speakers, he's a great speaker. He says the goal of AA at every meeting is to keep your moment alive so you never forget it. And if he says if you keep the moment alive, then you may not repeat it. You'll be willing to do it any length. And he uses the example of the Jews wanted to keep the Holocaust alive so it won't happen again. And we want to keep alive that memory to drive us. That's why we don't regret the past, because that moment of defeat will keep us willing to be God seekers. Their defects may be glaring. To whom? Now, if the defects are glaring, you haven't done your four step enough. You need to put them down again and look at them again, because the defects are only glaring. It depends how I see them. But the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. I think that's pretty tongue-in-cheek. But the chances are that our actions are responsible. People may have defects, but that doesn't excuse my behavior and the way I acted and the way I saw people. So we clean house with the family. Now, how do you do that? Do you get the mini maids? What you want to do is you want to break down the barriers between you and the people in your family. And you do that by making amends and trying to repair the damage of the past. And that's what we're talking about. And then this is, and I don't know if you do this, if you clean house every morning, but after you clean, as part of cleaning the house, you want to change your behavior, right? And the way you interact. So I say this prayer every day, every morning. I ask in meditation, I say to my Creator, show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love, not just for the family, but for everyone in the world. I want to be kind, patient, tolerant, and loving to everyone. And I want to be that way because that's how I know I'm in connection with my Creator. If I'm with my Creator, I'm going to be that way. So what's the way? What's the path to doing that? And I like the St. Francis prayer. Anybody else like it? Because I think about it, and the way is to be the channel of God's peace. Let God work through me, and I need to bring, the way I practice patience, tolerance, kindness, love, is I bring it in every situation. And I want to bring love and forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, joy. I want to be understanding. I want to be comforting. And I want to self-forget me. And by forgiving, I'm forgiven, and then I'm going to have awakened to eternal life. So I like that prayer. I meditate on that, and I think about it, and I think about, and I ask God to give me patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be that way all day, because then we get our self-centered glasses on. So I have to practice that all day long. And if I'm disturbed, then I'm not being patient, tolerant, kindness, and loving. It's pretty simple. Take the glasses off, fire me, put the God glasses on, change the way I feel. It's so simple. Why we don't do it all the time is really beyond understanding, because it works, doesn't it, guys? It works. Now, here's a subtle hint. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Notice it's on italics. What are we living? A spiritual life. A spiritual life is a life centered on the Spirit, with the Spirit directing me, right? Guiding me. And get moving from self to God. And we have to live it, and we have to practice it. And it takes work, right? And remember on step 10, it says we're going to grow an understanding and effectiveness of how to live in the world of the Spirit. Well, that's the next page. And next page is how you live the spiritual life, 84 and 85, and what you do all day long. They're getting us ready for that. And it doesn't say you might want to live it. Why do we have to live it? Because if you don't live it, then you're living your self-centered life, and then you're not going to feel good, and then you're going to drink or use, right? And if you don't, you're still going to be miserable. Now, after a while, I think people want to live it. Anybody here want to live it? Because it works. And so we keep doing the same things over and over. We get up, we pray, we meditate, we're going to meetings, we're talking to each other, we're trying to help each other. Now, here's a suggestion. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. They're being very nice at saying, don't drive your family members crazy with the steps and what they need to do. Now, you want them to do it because you know it works. But you're going to have to, they're going to show you how you convince them to do it in the next line. And we should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. And sometimes at home, I'll talk a little bit. My wife says, I don't want to hear it anymore. And she's right, and I shut up. Not that we're fighting or anything, but I'll say, well, you know, you shouldn't have the resentment, blah, 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 blah. And nobody wants to be told how they should practice their spiritual principles. And so, you know, but I'm being tongue-in-cheek. But actually, in our house, she's heard me listen to speaker tapes so much and step tapes that she knows the steps in the book, because she's in the other room when I listen in the morning when I used to listen. And so they will change in time. And they may never change, isn't that true? But they may see the change in you, and they may want to change. So here's the key line. If you're new, your behavior will convince them more than your words. And is it good behavior? Is it spiritual behavior? Is it the old behavior? Are you still being selfish and considerate? Are you being loved, patient, kind, and tolerant? And when they see you change, they may want to know. Or they'll see the change, and they'll respect what you're doing. And they'll be very supportive. And they may want to read the book, or they may want to ask you questions. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. So I wrote, be the change, so they can see the change. Be the change. Isn't that what we talk about? Be the big book that people see. Be the messenger. Be the creator God. And that's what I ask God in the morning, to try not to be the selfish person that I was, be the person you created today so that I can help people. Now here's a powerful paragraph. Jimmy's here. Jimmy Allen?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, we remember that day we talked about this. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. Is that true?
No.
Absolutely. So how do you get over shame and guilt? We don't worry about them. If we can honestly say to ourselves, we would right them if we could. If you're willing to make amends, you've forgiven everybody, then you don't worry about them, because if you honestly could, you would. And you never know. I mean, I was at a meeting, and it was 300 people in the meeting, and I got in a little late, and it was a cancer doctor's, and I sat at the only seat, and it was next to the guy who did not really think much of me years before and encouraged me to get some help. Get the picture? And he looked at me, and he was kind of afraid, because he figured, you know, I'm going to strangle him. But no, I hugged him, because he helped me. If it wasn't for him, I might not be here tonight. And I gave him a big hug, and I say, I'm so glad to see you, because he had moved away. And I said, I'm so glad to see you, and how's your family? And I told him I was in recovery, and my life is really good. It was so special. I didn't know that morning that he was good, but I understood. I'd done my fourth step. I knew that he was a good guy. And so that was really special. And you'll see, anybody go to the grocery store this week or next week, you'll see somebody. Or you go somewhere, you'll see somebody, and you may not know what to say, but the God will give you the right opportunity. So this amends is on God's time, too. That's why we say halfway through. You never know when God's going to put the people in your life so you can make amends. But you want to be willing, and I say it all the time, to be willing to make amends to anyone you've harmed and forgiven everybody. And so I say you're not afraid to see anybody who walks through the door. Now, what I mean by that is, if you're not afraid, the same way he walks through the door, you're okay with them, and you're willing to make amends. You don't have fear of people. That's a great gift. That's one of the promises we're going to read in a few minutes. And so how do you get that freedom from fear of people? You're willing to make amends, and you have forgiven them. And remember, if you forgive them, then you're forgiven. So this is how you get over shame and guilt. And forgive yourselves, you would honestly say you would write them if you could, and you would do different if you could, right? Anybody wish they gotten here sooner than they did? I wish I got here when I was 5. Well, I might have had better self-esteem, and I made out of wanted to fix the world to feel good. You see, but we couldn't do it, right? Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. I strongly suggest before you send a letter, you have somebody read it. You read it with someone, and you give them the letter before you mail it. But nowadays you could do Facebook or Twitter or all that stuff. I don't even know what any of that stuff is. There's so many ways you can get a hold of people. Be very careful. Be very careful, because you don't want to do more harm. There may be a valid reason for postponement in some cases. I forgot to say this last week. Some people say you make a list. Those you love, you make amends right away. Those you're kind of willing to, and the ones you're never going to do. And then as you do them, the nevers become maybes, and the maybes become people you make amends. So I don't know if that's true, but be willing. Remember, step 8 is you keep being willing. If you're not willing to make amends to somebody, you need to do the resentment inventory. Keep doing it. Say the prayers, because you're being blocked. Is there any reason not to forgive someone? No. Now, people have their own reasons, but they're all your reasons. There's no reason. Does God forgive us? Mm-hmm. Right? We have to forgive them. Remember Sandy Beach, Grady will be proud of me quoting him. He makes the point that we forgive everything up to and including crucifixion. Because on the cross, he said, I forgive them. They know not what they do. We have to forgive everybody, because if we don't, then we're dying from it. The other person's fine. They're out there. They don't know. They don't care. But if I don't forgive someone, then I still have the negative attitude in my heart, and it'll block me from God. We should be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. I wish I was that way all the time. But that's how we should be without being servile or scraping. Now here's the thing, you don't pay the bill twice in AA. You don't keep going to somebody who still resents you and keep asking them to forgive you. You're setting yourself up. You make amends, you do what you feel you need to do to repair the relationship, and then you're done. Joe and Charlie make the point, we don't keep paying the electric bill every day. And the fact is, if you keep going and want to keep paying the bill, they have power over you. And you don't want to give them power over you. You want to stand on your own two feet. So it says, as God's people, we stand on our feet. We don't crawl before anyone. And I wrote, when we came in here, I was on my knees, right? And now we're on our feet, so we've changed. We don't crawl before anyone, but we want to be sensible, tactful, considerate, and humble. And so that ends the eighth and ninth step. And now we come to these lines that are read at every meeting, a lot of meetings. And these are called the ninth step promises. But as you can check on the site, they're promises for every step. I've written thoughts on them. We've gone through them, step three, four, five, six, seven promises. But these are the, quote, the nine step promises. And I want to emphasize what they say. If we are painstaking, go with great care, do with great care and thoroughness about this phase of our development, steps four through nine, we're in step nine. So that's required to have these things come. Now the promises are not anything you earn and you get a certificate. They are spiritual gifts from God, and they're, as we are aware of God, we see these things. Now, what do I mean by that? Because it says you will be amazed. You're just amazed before you're halfway through. Something has amazed you, filled you with astonishment. And what are you amazed? Well, one day you're walking along and you say, I know a new freedom. Well, how'd that happen? You feel a new freedom. A new freedom from what? From self, from the bondage of all your old ideas. You feel a sense of joy and peace and a new happiness. And the new happiness is based on your relationship with God and serving Him and not on managing the world so you'll get what you think you need. So you had a change in your attitude from self to God. And when you do that, you know. How do you know? Something just appears in your head. Anybody relate to this? Now, it says we will not regret the past nor wish to shed on it. So where are you when you decide you're not going to regret the past? You see, it's, these things appear. And so you don't want to regret, feel repentant about the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And why? Because that could be the key to saving somebody's life. Your experience can help them see the truth about themselves. Your experience helps you to do step three. Your experience helps you take step one. And it keeps you seeking God. You don't want to forget the past. And you want to see the truth about it too. And so that's why you need to do step four, so you can see the truth about your past. So you're amazed, you suddenly know something, you don't regret something, and then you comprehend. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. Now, what are you doing when you comprehend serenity? You see, it just happens. Serenity is you're undisturbed, and you will know peace. And remember, N-O God, N-O peace. K-N-O-W-P, God, K-N-W peace. You know peace because you know God. Does this make sense? And so these things happen. So no matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. You can see something that you couldn't see before. And that's why you don't regret the past. the feeling of uselessness and self-pity, what happens? Disappears. It just disappears. It's just like a magic act. You come in here a mess, and you start doing these steps, and all of a sudden, you feel serenity. You feel peace, a new happiness. You don't regret the past. We all regret the past we came in here. And then we see how we could benefit others. And the feeling of uselessness and self-pity just disappears. Anybody think that's good? Well, yeah. We will lose, you lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in your fellows. You've changed. There's a change in you. Self-seeking slips away. See the words they use? It just slips away. How did it slip away? Did you wake up and say, my self-seeking is going to slip away at 11 o'clock? It just does it. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Now, what does that mean? My whole attitude and outlook upon life has changed. My whole attitude is that I want to seek God. He's my director. I want to serve Him. I want to do His will. I want to be loving to my neighbor. I want to love God with all my heart and soul and might. And so it just changed. Fear of people and economic insecurity leaves me. Send us the word again, it just leaves you. So fear of people used to be a tremendous fear for me. Anybody else have that? Now, fear of people could mean you don't want to get the mail. You don't want to answer the phone. Anybody have that? You don't want to know anything. It's all going to be bad. It just leaves you. Now, fear of economic insecurity leaves you. Now, some people say, well, when do I get money? Well, you don't get money at AA. You could get a job, but you don't fear economic insecurity. It leaves you. Why? Because you trust God. You've given money to God. You're going to do that, serve Him and play the role He assigns. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle me. It's another word again, intuitively know. And then here's the key. Suddenly, and how do you know intuitively know? Because you have a situation, then you think a thought comes to mind on an option that you never would have thought of. You say, wow, how'd that happen? We suddenly realize, something appears that God is doing for me what we cannot do of ourselves. We are aware of God. Now, here's the problem with this. If you're painstaking about your phase of development, these will come true. But they don't stay. The promises reflect your relationship with God. The promises reflect where you are with God each day. Because each day you can lose your serenity and lose peace, right? Anybody do that? You can feel useless. Self-pity will appear. So you see, you can lose these things if you're not connected with God. And this ties into the thought of step 10, that you're going to continue to take inventory and set right any new thinking. So that's why it says this thought brings us to step 10. The thought brings us to step 10, that these are extravagant promises. No. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Now, I wrote, who decides if they're quick or slow sometimes? Are you doing the work? You know, are you taking the steps? Are you following your sponsors? You know, you're participating? Sometimes it could be quicker than slowly, depending on you. But sometimes it's just the way it happens. But they will always materialize. Notice the word materialize. It just appears. So where are you when they materialize? What were you doing? Did you wake up on Friday and say, the promises are going to materialize today? It's not how it just happens. Things change. You change the way you see things. And these become part of you. And they'll continue as long as you continue to seek God and continue to do the steps. So 4 through 9 brings you the promises, and you keep the promises through steps 10 and 11. And some days you'll lose the promises in the morning and you'll get it back. And steps 10 and 11 tell us how to do that. Now, the other thing about these promises, they're a promise, right? And when you bought alcohol, there was a promise on each bottle. It says, you're going to know a new freedom and happiness. You're not going to regret the past. You're going to comprehend serenity. You see why alcohol was so powerful? Because alcohol was the spirit. And we saw that we weren't useless in no self-pity when we're drinking. We're self-sleeping, slipped away. Your attitude changed when you were drinking, didn't it? Fear left you. You knew how to handle every situation when you were drinking. And you suddenly realize that alcohol is doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. Now, when alcohol or drugs is that powerful, then you can see why your mind's going to seek it whenever you don't feel well. That's how the obsession, the drink, starts, because these promises come true and we keep wanting them. And when we're irritable, restless, discontent, we want the feeling of alcohol. Does this make sense? And so now we want the promises from God, our relationship with God. So if you're in right relationship with God, they're going to come true. They will always materialize if you work for them. So if they're not coming true at 9 o'clock, do the deal. Do 6 and 7. Do the actions in step 10 and get them back. So we do the work, but God does the rest. See, we prepare ourselves to receive the promises. I think that's the best way. We talk about letting go. Have I prepared myself to receive these promises today? And then at night, if they didn't come true, well, what did I do to block God? So I don't know if that's helpful, but they are, and they're promises from who? Is Bill W. writing the promises? No, it's a promise from God that if you seek me, God can and will, if I'm sought, if I seek God, these things are going to happen. Now, you know how I know they're true? Because they've happened in my life. So I can tell you that you do it, the promises will come true. And you stop doing it, they're going to go away. So I'm sorry to talk so long, but I wanted to finish that. Then we're going to do the powerful step 10, and it brings you right in. Do you want to keep the promises? Then let's do step 10 and learn how to continue to have these things happen in our life. Congratulations again to the birthdays. Thank you.